It's the Cash All Podcast, breaking down trends in design, web, social media, brands, tech, and more. I'm your host, Brandon Peterson. What is going on, everybody? I hope y'all survived your Thanksgiving holiday and Black Friday shopping. While we did venture out to our local Dunham's and Walmart here in North Platte for some Black Friday shopping as a dynamic duo slash Caped Crusaders, see last week's Cash All podcast about Black Friday doppelgangers, I also went with a little bit of David Lightman-style Cyber Week shopping. Again, see last week's Cash All podcast episode about Black Friday doppelgangers. Prices and graphic cards have been going down. There were some pretty sweet deals online for SSD hard drives. And memory pricing was reasonable, which means it was the perfect time to build a new PC. Something I've been wanting to do since I finished my programs of study from the University of Florida. So I ordered all the parts, everything arrived, the build went well. In fact, I'm proud to say that I am right now broadcasting on my new build right now as I speak. I wanted to take this week to share a little bit about the computer I built and to tell you how you can make your own as well. It's easier than what you might think if you've never done it before. To start things off, we should talk about what you need for a computer. What are the bare minimum requirements needed to build a computer to use? Well, we need a CPU, which is the chip that does all the processing and thinking. It's called the central processing unit. We need a hard drive, which is a place to store all our stuff. We need memory, which is a place for data to temporarily be stored while it's being processed or accessed. We have to have a motherboard, which is basically the big chip that connects everything together. The motherboard has pre-installed software on it, which is called a BIOS. And it's basically the instructions for how your computer should boot up. You need a power supply so you can have electricity go to everything so it can run. You can plug it into a wall. And you need a case that encloses everything. That's kind of the bare minimum parts of a computer that you need to get started. Now, how do we know what parts are compatible with each other? Well, every component out there has documentation that'll tell you what it can be used with. But there's a much easier way to do that. What's the way that I use? I use a little site called PCPartPicker.com. It is awesome. It has all your components listed. And then you just click the little plus on each component. You select one that you like. And then after that, when you go to select your next component, it's going to show the parts that are compatible with what you have selected. And there's a little readout letting you know if anything is like looking kind of funny. Like it might say, hey, this doesn't have a CPU cooler yet. You need to make sure you get that. It's going to tell you what things are not compatible, and you can even filter it to where it will only allow you to select parts that are compatible with your build. It'll even tell you the estimated wattage that is needed for your computer, so you have an idea of what kind of power supply you should get. I do a lot of graphic design and video editing, podcasting obviously, but I also like playing some games, so I knew mine was going to need some power for some graphics processing. When deciding a computer build, when I was in PC Part Picker, I typically like to start with the CPU first. So I've had a lot of luck with Intel Intel CPUs. So I went with the Intel Core i7-13700K. It's a 16-core processor, and it has integrated graphics. And I knew that was going to be plenty of speed for everything that I need to use for this. From there, I needed a cooler that's going to sit on the CPU. So I went with the Thermalright Peerless Assassin 120SE CPU air cooler. You can get liquid coolers as well, but I knew that this would work well with my build. And I did go ahead and order a little Arctic Silver thermal paste. Thermal paste does come with my air cooler. But just to be on the safe side, I wanted to order some that I've used before. And so I ordered like a $5 tube of that thermal paste. Next part is kind of one of the more fun components to buy, I think. and kind of one of the cooler looking components of your build, and that is the graphics card. And so while that was not listed above of the bare minimum, because of the gaming and because of some of these things that I want to build with my computer, using Unreal Engine, some render projects, things like that, this is something that I had to have for my build. And the, like I mentioned earlier, prices have been going down significantly for these lately. So it just was, it was good timing for me to get this right now. I went with the MSI Ventus GeForce RTX 4070 with 12 gigabytes of video RAM. I went with the 2X OC version. There was a 3X that was a little bit more expensive, but I think this one all is going to work great, and I've really enjoyed it up to this point. I went with the MSI. Normally, I would go with Asus, A-S-U-S. I probably always say that wrong. But this time, because the pricing was cheaper for the MSI, I decided to go with the MSI graphics card and with the MSI motherboard, which I'll talk about here a little later. As far as memory, I went with the G-Skill Flare X5 memory. It's DDR5 memory sticks. I got two of them. Each one had 32 gigabytes of RAM, so it'll have 64 total gig of RAM for this machine, which is going to help me out tremendously. For the hard drive, I went with the Samsung 980 Pro SSD. It's the M.2 internal solid-state drive, and they work so well. They're so reliable. Takes up very little room in your build for that, and just works great. So that's what I went with that, and it was on sale, so double bonus for that. For the motherboard, where everything's going to connect together, it's the MSI Pro Z790P. It has Wi-Fi on it and supports the Intel processor that I purchased for this. For my power supply, I think my build said something like it was like 600 something watts. So I knew I needed to have something more than that, because your power supply should be able to handle more than that. Or maybe it was, now I can't even remember. It might have been 600 or 700 watts, something like that. And so I went with the Corsair modular power supply. It was the 80 plus gold, and it is good for 1,000 watts. And that was going to give me plenty of upgradability in case I need to add more components to my build later or any of that. So that's how I went with that. For the case, so with my build, I went with components that were not RGB, just because the RGB ones, where they light up on the inside, they look really cool, but it could require more wattage, and they're a little more expensive. So I don't really care how it looks inside. I'm not looking inside my build at all once I'm getting started. So I went with a case that does have the plexiglass side on it, but it was one of the cheaper cases I could find. And it was the NZXT H5 Flow Compact ATX Mid-Tower PC Gaming Case. There's some really nice fans in it. There's a lot of vents on it, which really allow for some solid airflow. And there's even the back side panel has some nice empty space behind it for some cable management, which really helps me to make it look a little cleaner when I do need to open it up to add more memory or anything down the road. I ordered Windows 11 Home on a USB. I think I got it from Newegg. I did order a new Logitech K845CH mechanical keyboard. I like the extra clicky sound when I'm typing, so I went with the Cherry MX Blue switches. The one that I had on my old machine was a Razer, and I just haven't had a lot of luck with Razer mice and keyboards, but the Razer keyboard I had, I did like the feel of it. It was those green switches, and they didn't have those available for the Logitech, so I went with the blue, and I have really liked that keyboard so far, and it looks sharp and is pleasing to type on. I'm keeping my Dell 2K monitor that I've been using for a while. It's relatively new, and I didn't see the need to have to get a new monitor, as it'll work well with my graphic card. All right, so that was my shopping list that I created in PC Part Picker. And when you're ready, when you have all those components in there, you can click like finish shopping or purchase your parts or whatever it says. And once you do that, you get shopping lists from your vendors with the cheapest prices. So like I'll have a bunch of parts that are listed with Amazon. I'll have a bunch of parts listed there with Newegg. Some parts listed in there with Best Buy and other vendors where you can purchase things at. I did have a few parts that were from other vendors, but I had most of my components could get at the lowest price from Amazon. And the other ones were from Newegg, minus a few parts elsewhere. And so what I did was I just looked on Newegg and Amazon to find those parts that were from the third vendor. And it wasn't anything wrong with it. I just thought, man, if I could get this down to coming from two stores, it makes it a little bit more convenient for delivery for me, so I don't have quite so many different packages coming. So that's kind of why I did that. And I ended up finding the same components on Amazon, and with those components being added to that one, it was only like $20 more. So I wasn't too worried about that for the price. You know, you're kind of making up for it with fewer packages and less worry, you know, of having to run home, see if my parts arrived and then bring them in, you know, and that kind of thing throughout the day. Once your parts are ordered and you submit those things and you go to your accounts and you purchase your stuff and they start arriving, it's like the 12 days of Christmas getting these packages in the mail. I mean, it's like, whoa, my graphics card. Whoa, my CPU. Whoa, my cooler. Whoa, my case. It's just exciting. And you're waiting for all the parts to get here. They're a little staggered, which can be a little frustrating because you just want to build this thing right away. You might have everything in, but then still waiting on that thermal paste. In that case, if you know where my cooler comes with thermal paste, I can kind of decide maybe I am going to use the thermal paste that came with my cooler. And who cares about the other part? But in my case, everything pretty much came on the last day. Everything else I needed arrived then. So I wasn't waiting for just one component to get here, which was nice. Once those parts are all there and you have all those boxes stacked up in your office or in your spare room or whatever, then you're getting ready, or you're ready to get started. You know, when you're going to build this thing, watch a few YouTube videos. See how people have put similar builds together or who are using similar components to you. There's videos all over YouTube. There's a great one with Cavill, who played Superman. And it was like during COVID or whatever, and he built a PC during that time. And he has a video of him going through it. And there's like some remakes of it online where it has like Superman music playing in the background. Kind of epic, and it's kind of fun to watch. I always show that to my students at school when we're talking about components of a computer and what goes into building one, and they design their own build for specific purposes and kind of introduce it with the hook that, you know, you have to be a superhero to build a computer because Superman is in there doing it. So, you know, there's all sorts of YouTube videos, like I was saying. Check those out and kind of see that process that goes through it and all of that. One thing to kind of keep in mind, like some things you might need handy, you want to have your phone handy. With my last PC build before this one, the motherboard came with an awesome manual. And maybe that's the difference between Asus and MSI. Maybe MSI used to be that way. Maybe nobody's that way at all. But I know with my last build, the manual with the motherboard was solid. And basically, I could just follow that and know how to put this thing together. And this one here, like, it came with a very minimalized manual and didn't have a lot of information in it, just some simple pictures. There was a QR code on it, so you could scan it with your phone. And then you have to navigate through the menu on your phone. Now, I'm comfortable with myself putting together computers, so that wasn't huge to me, but I just thought that was a big difference from the last time I built one, and do want to give you kind of a warning of that. So have your phone handy, make sure it's charged in case you need to use it for your manual, or maybe have a laptop handy where you can, you know, read the menu in there, which is not totally convenient, takes up space on the table, but whatever. You also want to have a Phillips screwdriver. Like I usually have a regular size and then like the small kind handy. So you can add those components to your computer with those little screws. A flashlight is nice. If you're not in a super well-lit area, just kind of easy to see inside your build. Or if you drop a screw on the floor or something like that, a flashlight is handy to have. Then you should be pretty much all set. When I started building my computer, I started up opening the motherboard. I unlatched the spot for the CPU and carefully placed the CPU into place, latching it down. That's a little stressful because it's an expensive part. And it seems like, man, I'm really kind of pulling down on this thing kind of hard. I hope this doesn't break. But as long as you're following the directions on there and it's facing the right way, then you're all good. I like Intel, obviously, because of the performance, but also because they don't have all the tiny little pins on the reverse side like AMD does. When you have an AMD processor, each pin has to go through the tiny hole, and that's a bit stressful putting those in there for sure. So it's kind of another benefit of using Intel like I like to use. But I've known plenty of people that like AMD and build computers, and they're great as well. So, but it is something to be aware of. Normally, you would want to put the CPU cooler on next. In fact, that's what I did. But this cooler that I used is a bit of a monster. So I'll tell you what I should have done was I should have installed the SSD, which is very easy to do, but that cooler just covers over the top of it when you're trying to put that in. So what I would do if I were you is I would go to the part where the SSD is, install it in there, put it in with the little screw that holds it into place. And then after that, then you're ready to put on your CPU cooler. You put a little blob of that thermal paste on your CPU. Some people, there's all sorts of different recommendations of what you should use and the method you should use. I go with the old put a blob on there of the size of like a pea or something like that on there. And then when I put the CPU over the top, then I kind of press it on so that it's able to get that paste in contact with that cooler, because basically your CPU is going to get really hot and you need that surface from the cooler to be into contact with it. So then it can go to that and go out the heat sink and be blown away with the fans is kind of the way that works. This cooler has two fans, pretty big size fans. And I recommend holding off on putting the fans on the cooler until just about all the way at the end. Next, you want to insert your RAM. So when the RAM is installed, it only fits in one way. But you take the part, you put it into the motherboard, you press in, and it snaps into place. Works pretty good. Pretty easy to do. Like I said, it only fits in there one direction. Then you want to remove the slots in the back of your case. You'll have to get out your case at this point in time. And you want to remove the slots in the back. And you want to install your motherboard into the case. All right. So like you take the case apart. It goes in from the side, the motherboard does. You can screw it in there. And then in the back of the case where you have all your stuff that plugs in, you'll need to kind of move some panels probably. So that's your input, output, and your USBs and all that stuff come to the end. There's a little shield in there that you want to make sure fits up there nicely. And then you want to take out the ones that are kind of next to the slot where your graphic card is going to be. Then you compress in your graphics card. And it fits in there. Make sure everything matches up on the back. Put up any shields back there for that if you need to, kind of depending on what kind of graphic card you're using. And then you have those main components that are attached in there. Okay, the next thing is wanting to attach your power supply. So your power supply, some builds, it goes up in the top of the case. Some, it goes down in the bottom. My current one is down at the bottom of the build. So you attach your power supply there. And mine is modular, which means that some power supplies are not modular. They have every cable that you would possibly need for it. And the ones you don't need, you don't hook up. The modular I like because the ones I don't need, I don't have to fit into the back of that power supply, which is nice. So what I did, and it makes cable management easier, all that kind of thing as well. So once that's done, then I connect all the parts from that power supply to the motherboard and the cables from the case that go to the motherboard. And there's some power supply that goes to my graphics card that's in there. Like each of those components, and it'll tell you in your directions what needs to be connected where. And actually, in my power supply, there's little labels for the cables that'll let you know where it's supposed to plug into, and then it's labeled on the motherboard as well, making that process fairly easy to use. Once that's finished, then I'm ready to put those fans in on my cooler that I was talking about earlier, and those plug into the motherboard as well. And it's labeled where they're supposed to go, and those pins only go in one way. And then the build is basically done. So once I had that finished, I carried my PC into my office. I put my mouse and keyboard connected to it, and I connected my monitor, turned it on, and made sure that the BIOS was there. If it loads up, great. If it doesn't load up, then you know, you need to go check through and make sure everything's connected properly and making sure you add all your power supply parts in there. Another few things here that I like to do in that BIOS, I'm making sure it recognizes my hard drive. I'm making sure that it's showing on the BIOS that all 64 gig of my RAM were showing up, that it recognizes my graphics card, any kind of component that I have in there. I want to make sure it's represented on those lists. And you can kind of navigate through your BIOS easy enough. It's pretty easy to look at and to understand on how those work. Once that was all good, then I put the rest of my case back together. I didn't assemble it right at that time with the rest of the case, just in case I needed to go back and recheck my cables or whatever. But then I put everything back together, brought it back into my office, and then I put in my little thumb drive and then restarted my computer. And then I was able to install that operating system on there and get things running like a regular computer is. Because once it's all built, then it's the installation process. What programs do you need going on there and all that? Now, while this was going on, I wasn't 100% dialed in to putting together this computer, because Philadelphia Eagles were playing the Kansas City Chiefs. And so I was putting this together like during commercial breaks, at halftime, right after the game. And I was trying to get to a stopping point. The Eagles games have been a roller coaster of emotions for me anyway, because they're always pretty stressful and aren't settled until like the last plays of the game. So with all that, this build probably took me a little bit longer than what it normally would have. Just because I was leaving, then going back in and trying to remember where I had left off. But still, everything worked, and I wasn't dialed in 100% trying to get this thing put together. I had football on my mind as well. So didn't take too long. Got it all done in an evening with that, and then was able to install my operating system on that evening, Windows 11. So here are a few tips from me to you. I think if you decide to do something with this, one of them is you want to think of what the purpose of your build is. Is it just for surfing the web? Is it for graphic design? Is it for video editing? Is it for gaming? Once you kind of know what the purpose is and you know what you're going to be installing on this computer, like do I need a lot of software? Is there going to be a lot of things I'm installing on there? Then I'm probably going to need a 2 terabyte hard drive. You know, if it's something smaller, then maybe I could get by with 1 terabyte if I'm just surfing the web and you know, might just have some things I'm downloading that I want to store on there. So that might come into play. When you're thinking about the software or the games you're going to play, you can go online and look at what those recommended and required user requirements are and go with that. If it tells you it needs to have this many cores and this many gigahertz of speed, then you want to make sure your computer can at least cover that. Also, it's not a bad idea to be thinking about future-proofing your machine. You know, getting something that's going to run the recommended requirements, not just going with the required system requirements, but what's recommended for it. So that way, as more programs come out, and without a doubt, they start to become more resource hungry, then your computer will be able to handle that in there. So future-proofing is important. A little more powerful than what you need possibly, but at least having the ability with your build, like choosing a motherboard that can have even more memory added later as the demand requires or as your budget allows. So my motherboard and my computer, I'm only using two of those memory slots right now for 64. So I might put in 64 at another time and be at 128 same time down the road. You never know. So it's kind of something to keep in mind with that. Let me try to think here of anything else I may be forgetting. I don't think I am. That's kind of the process. That's the one that I used. That's the parts. I was trying to explain the process of it through the podcast, which is a little bit tough. But hopefully you're able to get an idea of what I was looking for in a computer for me. The process of going and find those parts. And then where you can order them from conveniently and all of that. Have any of you out there ever built a PC before? I got to tell you, it's a gratifying process. And whenever you work on a multimedia project or whatever, knowing that you built the machine that you're using to create your digital projects, that's a pretty cool feeling. The components, like I said, usually only fit in the slots one way. So I encourage you all to at least look into it. You can custom a computer that perfectly fits your needs. You can make it upgradable. And sometimes, and in most cases, especially now with the prices going down again, it'll cost you even a little less than it would have if you bought from a store. And a big plus, doesn't have all the bloatware on it. Sometime this week, why don't you go out and check out PC Part Picker. Put together a build of your own. And send me the share link for me to take a look at what you have. I'd love to see what you come up with. And if you start building one of your own and you run into problems or have questions, y'all know where to find me. Thanks for listening. Like and subscribe if you like what you heard. And I'm always looking to connect on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube at Code Peterson. You can also check out my webpage, CodePeterson.com.